Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Everybody was fine with going to the casino because everybody's seen somebody win a jackpot on a slot machine. But a lot of people don't know people that were successful in the stock market. There's people that were successful in crypto from speculating and the stock market from taking high risk. So I think that's more palatable for people now moving forward. Will it be harder? Yes. Do you have to be more selective? Yes. But I still don't think it's going to be hard to eke out rates of return that are really good because last year interest rates were higher than they are now and we had a 20%+ return on the S&P 500. So you have to just take a step back and look sometimes and say, yes, it's going to be harder, but that doesn't mean that it's not possible, nor does it mean it's not going to happen. And I think it's more highly likely to happen versus not happen.
What's going on, guys? Welcome into another episode of Money Moves.
And howdy.
Mr. Breedwell is
howdy,
coming
y'all.
Full of piss and vinegar today.
Never.
Man, I wish we were recording everything we were talking about. Because honestly, we should just record before we start the show. Because like y'all think Breedwell is off the handle sometimes on this show. You should hear what homie is talking about before we hit the record button.
It's all positive.
It is all fun is what it is. I love getting the spicy side of Mr. Ryan Breedwell because really people—
I'm an advocate for the people.
You are. You love to say it how you see it.
Yeah.
Not saying I always agree with how you see things, but that being said, I love—
eyes wide open.
How you bring all of your truth to the table at all times. And that is—
that's way to be.
What we love to talk about on the show is digging into what really matters and speaking our truth. And hopefully a little bit of that helps you on your wealth building journey. As you know, we love to talk all things stocks, real estate, and personal finance on this show. Of course, we like to sprinkle in a little bit of spiciness with politics and world events, current events, news.
Absolutely.
Things that we think are BS, things that we think are absolutely insane, things that we think are maybe little nuggets of wisdom that can help you on your financial freedom journey. So if you're new to the show, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. If you enjoy the show, all we ask is take 60 seconds, leave a review, share this with somebody that you think can get some value by participating in these conversations.
Yes, please.
And of course, don't forget to take advantage of the two ways to get connected with us. To get connected with Ryan and his amazing team, text the word X-ray 844-447-1555.
Highly recommend.
That will get you connected to go through a free complimentary entire portfolio review and X-ray. You guys comb through everything.
Mm-hmm.
It is one, highly valuable, and two, highly educational. Whether you decide to do anything with it or not, getting a second set of eyes on what is your wealth building plan and how you're going to continue to build and grow your legacy, your income, your freedom. It's always good to get other people poking holes in it. So you can get that complimentary from Ryan and his team, X-ray, to 844-447-1555. For all my credit investors that want to look at different deals, investment opportunities, things that I'm investing in, things that we have open and available to look at, you guys can text the word deals to 844-447-1555. All right, where should we start? I feel like the topic of the week right now is Bitcoin, crypto, crypto.
Yeah,
we saw Bitcoin hit an all-time high of 69,000 and
bye-bye.
Mama Volatility decided to step into the chat.
69 was a lot faster than 59 to 69.
That's quick, man.
Oh, it took months to get there. And now it literally is back down below 65. So somewhere around 63 last time I checked.
Where's our trade right now? Let's see. We got...
Ooh.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm going to say 63. And yeah, it was 800. Right? Yeah, when I saw, I think the trough out, like where the amount of money that fled out of the crypto market was about $800 million. I just put Bitcoin price.
Yeah.
There we go. 63,134.
Yep.
And it's trending down. So... You know,
what was the reason for this spike?
I think there's a halving of some sort coming up in Bitcoin, but I honest to God, I will tell you right now, I own zero Bitcoin. I never plan on owning Bitcoin. I don't even follow it at all. I own
your crypto
Solana.
Portfolio is actually looking kind of nice from what you just showed me, though.
Your boy makes decent speculative.
No, picks. No Bitcoin in there, but a Zero. Lot of the other stuff that you hold is
like 57% of my
really well.
Portfolio is Solana. Then I have Ethereum. Then I have Cardano, Polkadot. No, not Polkadot. Polygon and XRP. That's what I have. I've had them for many years. I buy like $10 a week. Literally $10. It's not that much. And I have way more in my stock portfolio, and I would always have way more in my stock portfolio. It's been a great year for crypto because there's, I think a lot of the crappier kind of stuff dried up and is fizzling out, and a lot of that money will consolidate.
Yep.
And the stuff that wants to stay into crypto will go to projects. So it kind of works its way up the tree. There's still a ton of crap and shit coins out there. But there's a lot of projects that are good. And I just like Ethereum based products because it can act like a cryptocurrency and it can also act like a decentralized, a D app. So you can make decentralized applications on there. You can have ecosystems. You can do NFTs on Solana. So there's all sorts of cool stuff in that space. It's fun to gamble around and have fun with it. But it has my crypto portfolio is up like almost 60% in the past year. So it's done pretty good. But it was down so much for so long, and my stocks were down, but not down as much. I mean, they've already recovered. I get paid a lot more yield on my stocks. I do get paid yield on my crypto because I stake it. But yeah, I think crypto is going to still go through this finding of its place. I do feel that when interest rates go lower and people can then leverage cash cheaper, they're gonna be buying crypto again. So that'll
well, the ETFs are making it a lot more available for people to do that as well.
You know, I saw some stuff that like Fidelity was reaching out to some of the people that are holding the Bitcoin through them, and they're asking to buy the Bitcoin back off of people because I don't think they want to hold anymore. Hmm. And it's more popular than maybe they anticipated. And so time will tell on that. But yeah, the accessibility to it via an ETF is good, but I also, again, that also like devalues crypto because then it just turns it into an asset to speculate on. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what people have been saying it has been for the whole entirety.
Anti-cryptocurrency,
yeah. Right?
There you go. So Warren Buffett has warned Berkshire Hathaway shareholders that his sprawling $905 billion has virtually no possibility of eye-popping performance in the years ahead, laying bare the challenges that will confront his successors. He had said in his annual letter to shareholders Saturday that there were very few deals that offer that kind of transformative impact past takeovers have had, such as its purchases of insurers like Geico and National Indemnity or the BNSF Railroad. Basically, sounds like that would be something that would not be what you want to tell everybody, but I'm just curious, why is he putting, is he just trying to set the table and realign expectations with, because I think this is a conversation that all investors need to have, no matter what asset class or industry you're playing in, is the fact that we got so frothy in our expectations on returns that now it seems like there's some retracing of the producers of those returns, whether it's the asset itself or it's the fund itself, or it's the business itself trying to say, hey, that was nice and all, but we don't think that is sustainable, nor is it going to be common maybe in the near or the short-term future. And they're really trying to reset the expectation table properly. Is that a fair conversation? And do you think that's in alignment with what he's doing right here?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are going to get a wake-up call, especially in the real estate industry, on the cost of money, because the zero cost of money for the past, you know, it's not anymore.
There's no arbitrage in the yield anymore.
There will be, though.
But just not right now, and it won't be as great as what it has been historically, right?
I think I'd jump on the back part of that and say it will not be as good as it's been in the past. It's not going to be 2019 to 2022 anymore.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not going to be 2000, and I would say 12 to 2022 is the run. I would say it's a real good one. But I also will say there will forever now be more real estate investors on single family and commercial than there were prior. There's more people educated on the benefits of it now. So I think moving forward, there's still going to be more penetration to that side of the market by individual investors. And on the flip side of the coin, or my side of the street for the stock market, yeah, returns were very high because the zero cost on money. But I also think that conditioned people to buy and hold. And I also think the extreme volatility that has happened in the past 3 years in the stock market has conditioned people to be ready for extreme volatile moments and actually train them better to buy. I think retail investors now have a better or a more appetite for risk than they ever have, ever, because all of them saw the benefits of taking risk and what can happen if you do roll the dice right. Everybody was fine with going to the casino because everybody's seen somebody win a jackpot on a slot machine, but a lot of people don't know people that were successful in the stock market. There's people that were successful in crypto from speculating and the stock market from taking high risk. So I think that's more palatable for people now moving forward. Will it be harder? Yes. Do you have to be more selective? Yes. But I still don't think it's going to be hard to eke out rates of return that are really good, because last year interest rates were higher than they are now and we had a 20%+ return on the S&P 500. So you have to just take a step back and look sometimes and say, yes, it's going to be harder, but that doesn't mean that it's not possible, nor does it mean it's not going to happen. And I think it's more highly likely to happen versus not happen.
I mean, I agree on a lot of those fronts. I think at least on the real estate side, there's going to be a lot of people. And this is really the kind of the question and the conversation that's happening in a lot of the circles in real estate, at least on the commercial and, you know, larger investment groups that I'm a part of, is the yield that equity has been looking for. They have either gotten so far out of alignment with what the market actually can produce right now that a lot of them are just sitting on the sidelines with dry powder. And will they readjust their expectations in time to not miss the boat? Because those deals of high yield opportunities, I think, are still out there. They're just not as frequent as they were based on the last few seasons we've had, right? So I think it's an important discussion for people, whether you're raising capital, whether you're deploying capital, is to have those proper expectation setting conversations right out of the gate. If you outperform or overdeliver, right? Warren Buffett, everybody's going to be excited that he set the bar down here. And oh yeah, by the way, we knew we were going to hit here, but we had to readjust the psychology around the people that are investing and what they're actually expecting they're going to get. And I think that needs to kind of somewhat happen no matter what asset class or industry you're investing in, is to maybe readjust some of your expectations to be down here, execute and plan to be up here. But if it hits here, you still are, you know, in a place that you feel good about at least playing the game and being in the game still, versus just completely sitting out altogether because you're scared of not being able to produce what once was, when really that market may not be what is going to be for the interim.
Yeah, I think that This is why the benefit of kind of the style that I do with a lot of my clients works well, where we have a broad exposure to the market and in industries and sectors as a whole, but we go overweight individual names. I think that it's going to be necessary to have individual stock names in your portfolio to have the performance that you're going to be looking for moving forward. It's not going to be as easy as buying index funds, which has been set it and forget it strategy over the past 12 years, which still will work. But in order to get returns in the mid to high teens and higher, you're going to have individual stocks in your portfolio, because it's almost like following somebody and expecting to beat them to where you're going. You can't track the market and then expect to beat it. That's really hard to do. It just doesn't make sense. It's following something to try to beat it. It's just contradicting. So in order to try to beat something in the market, you have to have the market as a whole already, maybe as a core. And then you have to say, but I think this part, I think tech, I think I'm going to sell some of my, we've sold some of our clients money to buy bonds. I mean, bonds are going to do well when they cut interest rates, better than a lot of stocks are going to do. Is that a long-term hold? Probably not. But is it something we want to be a part of? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why would we sit on the sidelines? We're here to make money.
Well, especially if you know what's going to happen as a result of when rates get cut.
Exactly. And I mean, 2008 is the best example of that. That's why bonds made almost 13% that year, is because they cut interest rates so fast, the bond market had a massive rally. So that's it. That exact same thing is coming. And that's around the corner. So we have positions for that. The highlight of that story is you are not going to be able to buy, and 99% of mutual funds are already this way, but you're not going to be able to buy an ETF of the S&P 500 and say, I'm going to have a 14% rate of return. It's probably going to be sub 10, low nines, high eights, because that's all you're going to get by holding everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold everything and then have 30 or 40% of your portfolio and individual names that can push your portfolio past that mark, I think that's where people are going to be more successful. And that's what I do with a lot of my clients. You're in my portfolio more so heavy on individual stocks. You're in our portfolio being primarily individual stocks, actually. So that's the way you get higher rates of return, is you have to boil it down, you're going to have to increase your risk budget.
Yeah.
If it was here to get here, you're going to have to go here to get here. You're going to have to just put on a higher risk budget in order to get a similar rate of return. So that's why I was saying it's not impossible. It's just going to be harder to do that. And people are going to need to stomach more volatility in order to get to those places. Volatility, as you said before, is the price you pay for the returns and compounding annualized returns that you get.
So speaking of volatility, we've heard two different sides of the coin. Last week, we reported that economists were lowering recession forecasts by 40% or to 40% on U.S. job growth expectations. This week, I'm seeing, you know, and obviously he's a little bit of a bear or a big bear, but David Rosenberg stating that the U.S. now has an 85% chance of a recession in 2024, which is the highest probability since the great financial crisis. Yeah. I don't know if I'm buying that being the highest probable chance since the great financial crisis. But then we're seeing, you know, Bank of America is forecasting a June rate cut from the Fed. I'm seeing Morgan Stanley's chief U.S. economist saying that a hard landing is now guaranteed, saying that the full impacts of the Fed reserves tightening hadn't been fully felt in the economy, which there's arguments to be made for that. Could take 18 months after the last rate hike to feel the full weight of the higher rates. What is the overall sentiment around, I think we saw it, I don't know if I sent you that chart, Tone, on the rate probabilities, but
it's like 67% chance of a cut in June, about a 21% chance right now of a cut in May, and about a 4% chance of a cut in March.
So yeah, we're looking at what, May 21%?
Yep.
June 65, July 84, and September practically 100% chance of a cut.
Yeah, we're 60 days out from June, where when the March was at 90%, we were about 100 days out. So we're getting closer and closer and closer to the inevitable. I think it's probably now going to be June. But I just don't see them waiting beyond June. It just doesn't really make sense. And they have to cut interest rates. I mean, PCE is their preferred gauge for inflation, and PCE was down from 2.9 to 2.8. That's below the 3% that they want it to be.
So I'm going to send this over to you, Tone, because this is contrary. And I love a lot of what Mikey Taylor puts out, but I'm definitely not on this train. But as we're talking about rates getting cut, he's talking about the contrary.
10 years. And if you bought a house last year and now it's a stretch paying your mortgage, meaning the majority of your income is going towards it because a broker told you that rates will go down next year, you can always refi. Now it looks like the refi option may not be there. We got the jobs report for January and they were expecting 185,000 new jobs. How much were created? 353,000. Now that sounds great for the economy. That's not good for the whole inflation thing. Remember, the Fed drove rates up to cool the economy. What that should look like, actually having fewer jobs. And now you're hearing Jerome Powell say things like, we'll hold rates. We're totally comfortable with that. And now the overall census for the expectation of what rates will do for the next decade is go up. Look at the forecast on the 10-year treasury. It's changed from now to 2034. It's slowly going to rise, or at least that's the expectation. So can anything change? Of course. But if it doesn't, and you bought a house last year and you're really having a hard time paying the mortgage, your option may not be a refi. You may have to look for a second job. You may have to look for other categories to cut of your expenses. It's not ideal, but that may be the decision you have to make. And if you're waiting for rates to drop to buy a home, now you may have to save a bigger down payment, look for first-time home buyer programs, look for a seller finance option, or a loan that's assumable. You can make the argument that now that rates aren't expecting to go down, maybe home prices come down with it.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun-to-use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal, and it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
So,
Mr. Brevo, what you got for us?
Let's talk about specifics here.
First off,
that chart was at 4.2, and in 10 years, it went up to 5. That is 80 basis points.
So that's some good perspective, right? You could say that it's going up, but are we relation to inflation?
That's completely
to asset prices. It's not necessarily.
That is not an accurate.
Which is a good thing to point out, right? Because everybody's going to take that at face value and go, oh my gosh, rates are going to go up.
The line looks very sharp because, 80 basis points over 10 years is going to look like that. But that's what happens when you make the things 20 basis points per line.
Yeah.
I also be wary of charts with no sources which that was. Because charts with no sources tell you that
somebody made that shit up.
There we go. So, very good video editing. Shout out to his IT team and his tech team for that video. Also awesome job chopping up every single time he talked. I'd recommend he puts a part in his hair. I agree with the comments. And I don't agree that interest rates are going to go up.
And ultimately,
I do like his hair.
This hard landing that people are talking about, with everything that's going on with the Fed and the probabilities of rate cuts, it feels really hard to wrap my head around or get behind the hard landing narrative or the recession narrative. I could be totally wrong. It could be a black swan event. Could be something else that play. But
doesn't make sense.
From right where we sit today and the data that's continued to come out, it's hard to...
You can't have...
Support.
You for sure can't have a recession with consumer spending where it's at. It may keep the labor market tight, which is not something we want, and that would, you know, extend out. But there's certain... At some point, the metrics that are coming down, they keep coming down. The PCE numbers keep coming down. CPI numbers, even though they popped slightly... It's happened before. They'll keep coming down. Eventually, something's got to give, and they will cut rates because they don't want rates to be this high. You don't want to get into a situation where you're Japan, where you're at negative interest rates for so long. You know, your economy's up 30% or something year to date because they're hoping you're going to go to neutral or slightly positive interest rates finally, so banks can be profitable for the first time on debt. We don't want to get in that sort of situation. So soft landing or no landing, the market doesn't freaking care. It just is going to keep doing what it's doing. Whatever happens is going to happen and it'll figure itself out in the bond market.
Now, what about this point? I sent this over to you earlier. Peter Schiff had noted, according to the government, U.S. GDP grew by $334 billion in Q4, yet during that same quarter, the national debt rose by over $834 billion.
Completely uncorrelated.
Or 2.5 times as much. That doesn't even count the growth in debt that consumers took on directly. This isn't economic growth. It's a credit bubble.
I don't like it. None of that, what he's saying is untrue, but that's like, you know, a chicken laid an egg and a cow was walking in the field today. I mean, it just doesn't matter.
At what point does debt actually matter?
Debt does matter. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying those two points have no correlation with each other. I'll put it in perspective. I'm using just fictitious round numbers. I made $5 million, so I took a $3.5 million personal loan to go buy something. I can make money and take debt on. I mean, like, what world does this dude live in? That's literally how debt, you have to provide income to take debt based on your income. We still made more money than the amount of debt we added. I mean, we're not negative on that. So that's just, it's stupid. It's just stupid. I hate it when people post things and make them sound like I don't like what the last thing said. I don't like that. It's not accurate to what's happening. Is debt going up? Yes. Is that a problem? Yes. That doesn't mean that GDP has to be negative because debt is going up. That just simply means that the debt problem is snowballing a bit and is not
It's egregiously handled. Outpacing GDP, but it's an uncorrelated event, essentially.
It may be rising at a higher percentage, but it's a smaller pot. Hmm. So think of it this way. Would you rather get 10% of 100,000 or 5% of 4 million?
Yeah, easy answer.
You get a lower yield on a larger number, but it's still a bigger number. So right now, that's the case, and that's why it's okay. And that's why they're just going to let the next, or hopefully the next administration deal with it, whoever that is. But it needs to get dealt with. They're just not going to deal with it right now because it would cause too much pain in the economy. They're going to let the next administration deal with it because it's going to be painful to deal with that debt. It has to come from somewhere. And I'm going to give you a freaking hint. It's going to come from you and me and you and he.
But what about all those debt cancellations?
No such thing. That is like the biggest, that's one of the biggest lies that politicians say. You cannot cancel debt. It just transfers somewhere else that they just conveniently
put onto the taxpayers.
Exactly. Just like what they did with student loan debt.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs plans to cancel, this came out today, $2 billion in medical debt for for up to 1 million residents.
Yeah, fuck it. Hospitals aren't getting any money.
Right? It's just crazy. Like, oh, no, let's just eradicate all debt for everybody. That sounds good.
You can't do that. That's not how it works. You cannot do that. And what they'll do is they'll move it somewhere else where it's not medical debt. So will they eradicate medical debt? Sure. They got rid of all that student loan debt. It's not called student loan debt now. It's called national debt.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just move it on to different... It's accounting. The same magical thing happens. Go look at a company's EBITDA and then look at adjusted EBITDA. And notice when adjusted EBITDA numbers are like 10 times higher. Same magic. Yep. It's called accounting, folks.
Yep.
They're going to put it somewhere else.
Citi has said that the S&P 500 is not in a bubble. Amen. And tells investors to buy pullbacks. I know recently in the last couple weeks,
I think that I agree with that completely.
Some you know, publications have been stating, hey, the S&P is too frothy. It's starting to get a little bit of a bubble going.
4,500, baby. That's our price. 4,500. Holy shit. 5,500, excuse me, is our price target. Somewhere between 54 and 55. I think I was 54.50 at the beginning of the year, but we might need to raise that. Market's doing really well. Numbers that are coming out are good. CrowdStrike is one of the companies that reported today. That's going to be a big tech play. They're up 20% plus after hours, killing earnings. I think it's because people have discounted how much analysts have revised earnings down for this year, and they've done that 3 years in a row. So it is not very hard for companies to report good profit, and then they simply have to give modestly positive guidance, and stocks are taking off. So until that kind, if CrowdStrike is profitable, there's profitability in the market still. That's what you have to see when you see these medium, you know, these mid-size or small cap companies like that making these huge profits. 95 cents per share, I think, is what they reported EPS. That's a big deal. That's going to bleed through in other areas of the market. And calm investors that are looking to say, is this too much volatility? And we saw that last week with the NVIDIA pump. That stock is much more important to the market because of its market cap. But any company that can report profitability right now is going to soothe investors' tensions and keep the kind of train going forward. I think the next catalyst, it's hard to shoot right now. There's a lot of things going on, but I do think the politics is going to start playing more and more and more into this. Today's Super Tuesday, so we have a lot of voting going on tonight.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a really, really, really August time. I think it's going to really show itself. I think the VIX is going to start growing some shoulders around that time, because you're going to start seeing volatility build up in the market because people are absolutely
going to be placing bets based on what administration is in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. 100%. There's no doubt about it. Happens every year. I'm thinking if things go the way that I hope they go, we'll have an awesome end of the year and we'll have a nice next 4 years. But it's very, very, very volatile anytime you get within 90 days of an election.
Yeah. Well, your boy is still on the ballot. Supreme Court,
9-0. And it's very, even the liberal justices said, the states have a right to hold off people on ballots for state-ran elections, no doubt. But they have no authority on federal elections, especially the presidency. Be gone, Satan.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I mean, it's funny that the party that says they are defending democracy is the one who is literally undermining it.
Yes, we must defend democracy. So let's remove somebody off the ballot.
It
doesn't make sense. No. I know that the justifications, like if I try to go to a place of mediation and I try to say, okay, you know, tell me what you want. We don't like this person. We're accusing them of a bunch of stuff. We're going to tout things that are not necessarily, he's been found guilty in a civil court case. Oh, okay. No,
pull up the Andy Frisella video that I just sent you, because it's he says it in a not so eloquent way, but that's who Andy Frisella is. But you can pull this this one.
The person who just is intent on hating Trump, those people are now like grasping straws trying to defend their positions. You motherfuckers are wrong. You were wrong the whole time. What time are you going to sit back and examine your worldview and say, fuck, I got fucking played? Because that's what happened. You are the victim of a multi-trillion dollar propaganda initiative, the biggest that's ever been created in the history of humankind. And you don't have the intelligence to understand what's actually happening. And because you don't have the intelligence, you lack the perspective to say, fuck, I'm the one that they were aiming that at. I'm the exact person that they wanted to fool. And here I am being their soldier out in the street doing all this work. I'm a clown.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
You just saw what came out today. CDC now advises people to treat COVID the same as the flu and other respiratory illnesses and drops the 5-day isolation time.
Yeah.
Right?
I've never felt bad about anything that I did.
No, because we're respectful about it, but right?
I would deny I don't wear masks. I don't do that shit. If it did something, that would be one thing, but I'm not being forced to put something in my body that I don't want to put in my body. I respect everybody's decision. Go at it. Do whatever you want to do. It's not for me, not for my family.
Now I know why the YouTube channel got taken down a while ago.
100%.
We were talking about, because the YouTube channel got taken down at, I don't know, 10,000 something subscribers. And I was like, man, why? I forgot we got Ryan Breedville on the show, who's always
shut down,
getting in there. But I agree. I mean, it's funny to me how I saw this post today that I just think resonates on so many levels. You watched The Hunger Games and you sided with the resistance. You watched Star Wars and you sided with the resistance. You watched The Matrix and you sided with the resistance. You watched Divergent and you sided with the resistance. You watched V for Vendetta and sided with the resistance. When it's fiction you understand, you do it, yet you refuse to see it when it's in reality that you're living in. I thought that was really interesting, right? Of like, so many of the people that I know that were like we were dangerous and enemies to them, they were the people who are always siding with the resistance. It was just very weird to, but that being said, people are voting with their dollars. They're going to they're going to stake their beliefs in where this administration is going to end up.
It's going to be Trump versus Biden, and I have.
Because Michelle Obama came out today and said she ain't running.
I told you she ain't running.
Yeah.
You can't, like I told you, there's certain articles that have to be filed by certain times, and last fall, all those dates passed.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Biden.
Same
thing with Gavin Newsom. He can't get in either.
Nope. It's going to be Biden, and after tonight, it's going to be very clear. It'll be Trump. Nikki Haley won D.C. Shocker.
She said, she's delusional.
You know she can have a campaign ad on that soon.
She's delusional.
You guys should be voting with your pocketbooks. I hope to God that you, anybody listening to this show, I hope you're either a converted Democrat or thinking about jumping the ship, because That is not the party of democracy anymore. It just is not.
No. And it's, I love.
Republicans aren't perfect either.
I love seeing all the videos too of just lifelong Democrats that are like, this is not the party I once knew, and this is not the party that I am going to be aligned with going forward.
There's always been people
I think Robert Kennedy's getting a lot of, he's doing a good job playing the middle and both sides really well, and why he's pulling so high as an independent. I don't think he's going to win and have the ability to compete.
Don't waste your vote on that type of person.
That being said, he's going to take a lot of votes from Trump for sure.
Yeah, that's why he's stupid. He shouldn't be running.
He's going to.
Yeah.
CoreLogic House Price Index report is in for January. U.S. house prices increased 5.8% year over year, which ultimately is showing this engine ain't
no, but 5% is normal. That's normal.
It's normal.
I can deal
and
with
ultimately
that.
A lot of people are making the argument that this is like the last year and a half, 2 years historically, there is a lull or a pullback in pricing or in transactions in the market. Hence a lot of people saying, you know, 22 to late 21 to 23 was that time, and we're actually ramping up for another bull run in single family housing, if you can believe it.
I can believe it, but it'll be like 5% average. It's not going to be what it was.
So
it can't. There's not enough.
The U.S. housing market is still missing up to 7.2 million homes as household formations outpace single family construction. This is per realtor.com. So pull up the Chris Crone video that he talked about this. I saw Thach Nguyen. I saw a handful of other big, you know, single family real estate investors talking about this. I've talked with a handful of different guys in single family funds talking about how until we get anywhere close to the level of inventory with demand as high as it is, and as long as it's going to probably remain, that we're in for another decade. And then there's potentially a bubble or a retraction of pricing, obviously, depending on where we're at in the cycle and what, you know, is going on with the economy. Sure, you can make that argument. But historically, they're kind of making the argument the last 2 years or year and a half was the pullback. And once they start cutting rates, this thing's going to be off and running again. Outside of 97% of the videos that he makes, which I think are insane, and he's just an interesting
Chris
character.
Crone is an idiot. I will say it. He's not a good person.
Every once in a while, he puts out some stuff, and I'm like, I agree with that. So pull this one up.
I believe that 2024 is a repeat of 2020. And if you look at the last two decades, the three magic years to buy real estate was after 2008, 2020, and now 2024. And how long is real estate going to continue hiking? Until we run out of demand. And right now, demand is at a historic high, and we just don't have the inventory. It'll probably take another decade before we actually finally catch up between supply and demand. And about 500,000 homes before that happens, you're going to see me liquidate all of my real estate, and I'm just going to sit there holding it, because we're going to see one of the biggest bubble burst crashes in history. It is not like the stock market where it's like the market might crash tomorrow. Real estate, on the other hand, it's just supply and demand, and it moves in the slowest way. It is so predictable. So I believe that 2024 is
on that front. Now, do I think it's going to be that's a pretty bold statement, and a lot can change between now and then to say that. So many variables in that argument that he just has zero insider control over. So yep. I'll give him a pass on that one. That being said, I do believe that because of inventory being so low and so many people with equity in their homes not wanting to move and it not making financial sense to move, and we still have a healthy amount of demand, what do you think is going to happen when interest rates start cutting? That's going to spike dramatically.
It's also going to spike inventory.
And at the same time, that's going to get absorbed so quick that we won't catch up to...
I think there's a lot of home builders that are slow, because I know a lot of...
Well, it just depends on the market, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's going to be a lot of inventory that hits the market right when interest rates get cut. So it'll
take some time to sort through.
It'll go up. There's going to be a lot of new homes, and then there's going to be a ton of people that put their home on the market.
Well, and I think it's going to be very market specific too, right?
Agreed.
Like a Phoenix, Arizona is probably going to be a lot different potentially than a Dayton, Ohio. You know, so I think that's, you know, you got to look at it from a macro perspective, but then it's also, you got to look at it, especially as an investor, from a micro perspective and what is going on specifically in that market with those variables that we're talking about. Days on market, absorption, demand, inventory, price per square foot. These are all things that vary market to market, city to city, state to state. And when we're talking about interest rates as a blanket statement, yes, that's going to drive a lot of demand and energy and activity back into the market, but there are going to be a lot of markets that are hurting that people want to get out of or that want to reposition in or that want to get money out of. And ultimately, right, that could flood certain markets with inventory where the demand as people are trying to come out are not equally trying to come back in. California, San Francisco, perfect example, right? But then you look at a lot of the Tennessees, the Texases, the Floridas, a lot of those markets are starving for inventory because the demand in those areas is so high. And then you look at some of the other markets like a San Francisco, a San Jose, even a Sacramento, the demand is not as high here as it once was in the past.
Maybe an up on our area, but that's not, that's greater.
It's well, and we're sad. More of a conservative county in California. Yeah. And even that—
And it's like the Tahoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even that being said, I still think that there are going to be more and more markets that are blue and are heavily impacted by the politics and policy that will hurt the demand in those markets.
I agree.
And that's been
playing out over the past couple of years, and it's starting to really play out now.
Yeah, and you're starting to see it, right? So as this kind of all unfolds and the market gets unshackled a little bit and the energy and, you know, activity gets reinfused into it based on what the Fed decides to do on the, you know, second half of this year, it's going to be very interesting to see how a lot of these things work themselves out in certain regions and states and markets across the country. So stay tuned for more info on that. We'll definitely be tracking that because I do think, honestly, as the pendulum, as we always say, swings one way.
It's going to come back.
It usually will swing back. And I'm still a big believer that a lot of what made these blue states so great historically that has made them undesirable in a lot of ways politically are going to find a way to work themselves out. And there may be opportunities to buy that dip in confidence in the market, in the state, in the asset that hopefully over time, depending on how things play out, could be a potential bet, depending on what your portfolio looks like and how much risk you want to take. But I am still going to bet on certain cities to win long term. Do I think San Francisco is a shithole right now and has a lot of issues and policy-wise is not incentivizing anybody to infuse capital into it? Hell yeah. Do I think San Francisco's going to still be standing in another 100 years and be a good market to park capital in? I do, but you got to obviously
find your entry.
Strategically, exactly, find when you enter those types of markets.
Yep.
And I think those could be over the next couple of years as some of the red markets are hot and the demand goes there. And a lot of the blue markets, I think, are going to, right? You got investors in New York going, I'm not going to bring my capital here for these idiots to pillage my money away.
Tennessee and Texas, so way easier, yeah.
There could be some opportunities there. As a final wrap-up on office product, of course, continuing to be, you know, the most impacted and distressed asset class in commercial real estate. According to Goldman Sachs, they just put out a report that office prices still need to drop 50% for housing conversion projects to work. So there's still, you know, a basis that investors and developers are far away from that they need to get in order for the amount of work, the amount of capital infusion, and a lot of course, the risk that's associated with these investments to be worth parking capital and penciling in some of those markets. Yep. So that'll be something. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, auctions where you're looking at assets that were $100-200 million in value that are getting put on for $25-35-45 million bucks. And guess what?
They're flying.
No, they're not even selling.
I saw some. I thought some they were flying.
That was crazy to me. I was like, that, like, you're buying some of these on 30, 40 cents on the dollar. And even then, though, so I think it, right, it just aligns with this statement is developers, people who know their numbers, who know their risk profiles, and who understand the challenges of what really goes into doing these types of projects. It's still, the price ain't right yet, baby.
What if we're going to have a 2008 where they pull all the developers in the back room and like, hey, you're buying this shit.
Yeah. Hey.
But we're going to make it worth your while, exactly. But you're going
to
buy it.
Yep. We will help incentivize. That'll be interesting to see.
Tax incentives.
You know we're going to, You know we're going to keep in touch and stay tapped into all the narrative and everything that's going on. We've got some reports coming out this week. Mr. Breedwell, what do we got? Non-farm?
Friday's the big day. We have non-farm, private payrolls. We have job openings tomorrow. Friday's the big day. Friday's our big day. I think we could have some green, but I think Friday is going to be a hold back day because it's anything that's inflationary, touches the inflationary button, is going to be very sensitive to the market moving.
Any whispers of there being anything out of alignment that could be market movers?
I haven't heard anything, but that doesn't mean that that's indicative that nothing will happen.
Well, we will close it with a quote from Javier Milei. I absolutely love what this guy is doing in Argentina. And he said, you don't get out of poverty via handouts. You do it through hard work, capitalism, and resolve. And when you think about all the people that have unlocked real success, not just financial success, but people have great marriages, people have great friendships, people have great businesses, right? They are individuals that are hardworking, mm-hmm. that are looking to play the game that they're playing at the highest possible level. If you're going to play any game, you better damn well play it to win, right? Not saying you're going to win it all the time, but play it to the best of your ability, which is going to require you to show up consistently, work your ass off, bring value to other people, and to play the long game and not be playing and looking short like, unfortunately, a lot of people do when they're looking for handouts or quick fixes. So I love what he's doing. I'm trying to think of who the other president was.
Oh, Bitcoin man.
Yeah. And he's,
Argentina.
Oh, no, he's... Not Argentina.
El Salvador.
El Salvador.
Thank you. Sorry, their flag looks so similar.
Yeah, and he had some great comments and stuff as well. But overall, we will continue to keep you guys posted. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, check out millionairemindcast.com. If you want to connect with Ryan and his team, text the word X-ray to 844-447-1555. And if you want to get on my deals list, text the word deals to 844-447-1555. With that being said, we look forward to connecting with you guys next week. Until then, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond.
Cheers, y'all.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Money Moves. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. And if you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you take 2 minutes and leave a review in iTunes, where by doing so, you're going to get entered into win a $100 gift card. Also, don't forget to take advantage of Ryan's free financial X-ray on your investment portfolio. And to do so, all you have to do is text the word X-ray to 844-447-1555. What we have found by offering this out is most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases, overcharged, and whether or not their current investment and financial plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish. And this is something that Ryan and his amazing team do for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that. Again, that's X-ray, one word, 844-447-1555. Also, if you're an accredited investor and you're not on my deals list, be sure to text the word deals to 844-447-1555 to be notified of the private investment offerings my team and I put out. And last, don't forget to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family at millionairemindcast.com. Whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, mastermind events, calculators, the Rich Life Planner for those looking to take their goal setting and productivity to the next level. We've got all kinds of great and valuable tools available at millionairemindcast.com. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next week's episode, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.